You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman, here with my co-host, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tammy.
Thanks for having me today.
Also here with Adrian Clay Schulte, Senior Loan Officer from Cornerstone Mortgage.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming, man. So if you'd like to look at any of this information, you can visit our blog at DougHaldeman.com. It's DougHaldeman.com. And you also can ask questions of us off-air by texting 314-472-DOUG. Again, that's 314-472-DOUG, D-O-U-G, which is 3684. So I want to talk about our common topic on this rant that I get on about student loans.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Student loans.
It's like
the Doug Haldeman
student loan rant.
Oh, well, and our business just keeps reinforcing what a problem student loans are.
Right. The ratio of what you make versus the debt of your student loan.
Exactly. How much debt do you have to get into to get that degree? And then what, you know, is it going to be worth it or not?
You know, well, I wanted to ask you because, I mean, my oldest son, ours, I guess now, he was told not to pay off a student loan very early, not to pay it off early at all. And so then
his strategy is don't pay it off, get your mom to pay it off.
Get mom pay it off, which thankfully I was able to do.
Oh, I thought that's what you were supposed to do.
Stop.
No.
Get
you pay for their own education, right?
I think these kids are out there that are just totally misled about that. So let me restate the question. Why is there advice out there to not pay off that student loan early? What would be the reason not to?
Well, low interest rates?
Yeah, I mean, a couple reasons would be if it's not your lowest interest rate, then you'd pay off anything with a higher interest rate first.
Okay.
Sometimes student loan interest is tax deductible.
Okay.
Not in every case, but in some cases it is tax deductible. So, and the only thing that does, if it's tax deductible, is it reduces the effective interest rate on it.
Okay.
So by whatever your tax bracket is. So if somebody's at 6% and they were in the 32% tax bracket, then it's like a 32% discount on that interest rate. So it'd be more like a 4% interest rate instead of 6%.
Okay.
After the tax deductions. But why would you not pay it off? The only other reason I could think of would be, like, for instance, teachers have a student loan forgiveness program that Obama instituted. And why pay it off if someone else paid it off for you, of course.
Oh, gosh.
But I think that's a pretty small part of the population.
Right. So is there any truth to the fact that it helps your credit score?
Yes. I mean, yes, it can help your credit score, but there are lots of things that can help your credit score. Adrian, what do you think?
It can help your credit score. There are many ways to help your credit score. Again, everything is an individual circumstance.
Okay.
I can look at one person's credit report, and to raise their credit score, all they'd have to do is move some revolving credit card debt around from one credit card to another credit card. And then you get into somebody with student loans, and it's a whole nother path that you have to go down.
Well, and how about this underlying theme is that if you want to have it help your if you want to have it help your credit score, you have to make the payments on time.
Oh, well, that's a big deal.
that should be a given. Right. I know I'm like peeing on your leg and telling you it's raining, but
well, you know, and that also, like, the deferred payment, does that affect anything? As long as I make that deferred payment, does that still count?
Well, deferred payment is deferred. They don't have to actually make a payment if it's deferred.
What is the term I'm thinking of then? What is that called whenever they lower
income?
Yes, forbearance. Thank you. Yep. That's it. Forbearance.
Well, an income-based repayment plan.
Okay.
Where it may be a reduced payment, where some of their forbearing part of the balance.
Right.
Too. So, I don't know. All that does is kick the can down the road.
Right.
Usually, ultimately, they're not even making the interest payment.
All right. Let's fast forward a few years. Let's say we get past all this, and I'm in my mid-20s, early 30s. I'm getting ready to do a loan. How does student loans calculate into qualifying for a mortgage?
That's another thing. It depends on which mortgage you're talking about. And a bunch of new rules and guidelines are coming out this year surrounding the student loan payments, especially with FHA loans.
Okay.
FHA loans traditionally, excuse me, at least for a while now, have if the loan has been deferred for at least 12 months from the date of closing, you wouldn't even have to count the student loan payment into the debt-to-income ratio calculation.
Which is a little bit crazy if you think about it because, you know, at some point they're not going to be deferred and they are going to start making payments. Well, can they afford those payments plus their house payment?
Right, right.
So they're doing away with those rules, and on September 14th of 2015, those rules will change where they'll no longer allow a deferred payment.
They'll have to account for it.
Yeah, it was supposed to go into effect June 15th, but they actually postponed that until September
14th. When the new semester starts.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, that's an important one, because when those rules change, we won't be able to count a deferred payment anymore. However, we will be able to count an income-based repayment is still okay on an FHA loan only.
Okay.
Okay, so if it's a reduced payment, then we can count that. If it doesn't show a payment on the credit report, then we have to use 2%. So usually that person
2% of the balance.
Yeah,
2% of the balance.
If you have a $30,000 student loan balance, there's $600 toward your debt-to-income ratio, counting against your debt-to-income ratio. It's almost like having a whole other car payment.
Got it, yeah.
Right. It's pretty significant. And there are a lot of people, you know, normally we would, most programs will count a minimum of 1% of the balance against your payment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And like I have somebody right now trying to get a USDA loan, they can't qualify. If we have to count 1%, that's higher than what their actual payments are, but we have to count a minimum of 1% on a USDA loan, and they cannot buy the price range
they
want to buy
in. So they're not qualifying.
Right. They cannot qualify. They can qualify FHA right now, but USDA allows them to get in with no money down.
All right. What about a VA loan?
VA really doesn't have exact guidance out on this other than the fact that they will allow the deferred payments to not be counted as long as you can prove that the payments, the student loan payment is deferred 12 months from date of closing.
Which is almost impossible.
It is almost impossible.
Because here's where it's a catch-22, because they give you your deferment 12 months at a time. Okay,
right.
So if they give you your deferment today and they were defer it for 12 months, well, you're not closing your loan today.
Right.
Okay, you may be in the loan process, and let's say you close even 2 weeks from now. Well,
it's not
your 12 months then from closing date, and they won't give you a 13-month deferral. It's
okay.
only a 12-month deferral. So in essence,
so
there's almost never deferred.
Ridiculous.
Right. It is just ridiculous. There's almost never an instance where you can defer somebody's payment and not count it against them.
But there's an industry practice that is around 2%, and nobody ever uses above 5%.
Hmm.
When, as an example, so let's just say that $30,000 student loan that Adrian mentioned, you may only show $142 per month payment.
Right.
On
the credit report.
Okay.
So certain loan programs, like an FHA loan, we'd use that.
Okay.
We would use that lower payment.
The FHA and VA.
But like a conventional or USDA loan, we'd be using the $300 a month.
Right.
Yeah, even though the credit report says $143, when we put it into the system, we change it to $300, 1% of it, because that's the minimum allowed per Fannie Mae guidelines.
Mm, wow. So then if payments are deferred, then you kind of started to talk about that.
Basically,
explain that one more time.
They would have to have 12 months of deferral, which from the closing date, which really just isn't going to happen.
Right.
And it's a lot like the income-based repayments.
Okay.
Adrian, don't we calculate those basically the same way? Because we have to see on an income-based repayment plan, they're going to give you a 12-month plan based on where your income is. But if we can't see 12 months past the closing date, then we can't use it.
It's
so,
a good point.
Yeah, so rarely can you even use the income-based repayment
plan.
All right,
so is there any hope for me if I have a student loan?
Well, there is. It's just you better have low debts on all the rest of your debt. I mean, Adrian, what we see a lot is
credit cards.
They not only – well, yeah, they come out of school with credit card debt. They have a student loan debt. And then because they're making $28,000 a year, they think it's okay to go get the $475 car payment on top of that.
And then live with mom and dad again.
Right. We had somebody just this week that – they have a $500 car payment, so all they could afford was a $500 mortgage.
Okay.
So then they went and found a condo that had $220 a month in association fees.
Oh, gosh.
$100 a month in taxes. So we're like, yes, you can get about a $25,000 condo.
And you'll be eating ramen.
Right.
Still. Even
after
through college.
Right, right. Yeah, it just doesn't leave much for a payment. It doesn't.
Right.
The math does not work out.
Right.
All right, okay. So where does this go? I mean, when it comes to student loans and when it comes to navigating your way through, making sure that you're qualified, okay, Adrian, you help people all the time. I mean, you really need a professional in your corner that understands these rules and will help you find the best program. Okay? And it may not be you listening. It may be one of your kids. It may be one of your best friend's kids. if they want a consultation to look at this, and even if they've just come out of college and they want to make sure they're set up to be able to buy at some point in the future, reach out to us. I mean, Adrian, you help consult people in those situations all the time, right?
Let me add something to that. If you're listening right now and you have a son or a daughter or just yourself, you have student loans and you've been pre-approved in the last few months to buy a home, but you're waiting for your lease to be up or something like that, I would revisit your loan officer and make sure that these student loan, the new guidelines that have come out and that are coming out are not going to affect you in a negative way. Some loan officers are just not up to speed on this type of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, you guys at Cornerstone, it's a good place to start.
Right, absolutely. We have very high standards for us as employees and then very high standards for the service that we want to offer our clients and the advice that we want to offer our clients.
So how do we reach you guys?
Well, the best way to reach us, you can on our website, we'll put contact information for Adrian and myself. If you visit DougHaldeman.com, it's DougHaldeman.com, or if you call our St. Charles branch, our phone number is 636-978-8180. That's 636-978-8180. Or if you want to contact me directly, you can just call 314-472-DOUG. Again, that's 314-472-DOUG. So, Adrian, thank you very much for joining in on this. Great expertise, as usual.
Not a problem. It's been a blast, as always.
And if you have time to stick around, we have a special guest coming up. So the West County real estate market has really been hot. And coming up, we'll be talking to a West County expert when we return. You're listening to the Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.